Welcome
back to Folk Told Folk Tales.
Why do you say it like that? You put the emphasis in the wrong spots.
Folk Told Folk Tales.
You say Folk Told Folk Tales.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I am Juliana and this is...
Not Juliana.
That is Sabrina. So, welcome back. It's been a minute, but that's okay.
It's only been... Why do you keep saying it's been a minute? It's only been a week.
I don't keep saying it. I'm just saying it has been...
A week.
A week, yeah. Since we released an episode. Anyway, today we are going somewhere. Where are we going?
I don't know. Hopefully to sleep.
Eventually. But we're going to a particular, you know, continent.
South America.
Yes. Yes. South America.
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 Yeah.
Like how they say in West Side Story?
Sure.
I want to be in America. America.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in that play. I was Doc, which was a man. But that's okay.
We make a lot of musical references on here.
We do. That's because we are musical nerds, as are most people who follow us. So, True. You're welcome, guys.
So, Jujube's going to go first. We're going to be talking about some South American myths, as we have just stated. Jujube, take it away.
Well, as usual, I get to start with some of my trigger warnings.
Triggers.
Which, obviously, don't listen to my part of the episode if these things trigger you, but there is murder, children dying, and I think that's really it for trigger warnings for me, but I am going to talk about several horror movies, so if you don't like horror movies, don't watch
them.
Man up? Nope.
Woman up?
Person up.
Them up?
Them up. Them up.
Thup.
Well, I am doing actually two female-centered myths. One is really well-known, and the other one is...
You don't know their pronouns.
What, the female myths? Mm-hmm. I do know their pronouns.
They specifically state
they that? They identified as women.
Okay, fine.
Cis women.
Okay.
Okay?
What about bro women?
What?
Could you call them cis women together?
I can't stand you. Every single LGBT person listening just rolled their eyes so far back into their heads. I apologize
for her. Ugh, I cracked myself up.
You're a bro woman. Shush.
You're right. I am a bro.
That's true.
Gosh, I cracked myself up.
Okay. Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is La Llorona. Have you heard of her?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. How? I live with you.
Yeah, that's true. So, where have you heard of her other than me, before me?
Well then, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in Coco, there's that song, Llorona, but it just means crying woman, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is known as the Wailing Woman, also known as the Woman in White in the U.S. There was that really stupid Daniel Radcliffe movie, The Woman in Black. I did not like it.
Never seen it. I know what movie you're talking about, but I've never seen it.
But it's unclear exactly when or how this legend came about. It's only known that the story originated in Latin America, most likely Mexico. So oftentimes, since the story became most widespread during the 16th century, La Llorona is conflated with a woman called La Malinche. Have you heard of La Malinche before?
No.
Okay, me neither, before I did the research for this. But her real name wasn't La Malinche. It was either... Malintzin or Marina, and she was a lot more complex than she was made out to be. A lot of people say that she was simply a concubine of Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes.
Okay, you're gonna have to speak it in English, because, like, I...
Hernan, like, Cortes?
No, I mean conquistador, like you said it, like...
How was I supposed to say conquistador?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, anybody, like, I read it as you were saying, and I still wouldn't have been able to understand you.
Oh, my
gosh. So you gotta speak it in English.
I can't, like, it's just a reflex. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not even, like, a native Spanish speaker. I just...
So say it in English.
But I can't because, like, the first book I ever read was in Spanish, so I was always taught to say it with an accent because my uncle's Mexican. She's just shrugging at me. I'll try my best. How about you repeat it in English?
I might have to because you go really fast. Okay,
I know.
Continue.
Okay. So, some people say that she's just a concubine, but she was actually an interpreter and advisor for the Nahua people of the Mexican Gulf host. So she was like a translator, not just a concubine, even if she did sleep with them. She wasn't even 30 years old when she died, she is said to have turned her back on her own Aztec people and began working for the Spaniards instead. She had a child with Cortez. This child was named Martin Cortez, but she actually ended up marrying a different Spaniard named Juan Jaramillo. And her name has become a term in Spanish known as Malinchista, which means not loyal to one's own nation. So basically her name has become synonymous with traitor, which sucks. Not a cool legacy. She has been called the Mexican Eve.
Weird, because Eve doesn't really belong to a nation, but that's weird.
What do you mean?
Eve? Like Adam and Eve? She doesn't belong to a nation. She's not, like, American.
No, but it's, like, a reference to the fact that, like, it's Mexico's own version of Eve, I guess, since she doesn't really belong to a nation.
I guess.
Basically, all it's saying is that she was the temptress, the one at fault.
Even though we all know it was Adam's fault, but let's just keep going.
You're right. We're not getting into that, but it's true. Unfortunately, Malinche didn't really have a choice, though. It's not like she just decided, oh yeah, I'm going to marry these, like, be with these Spanish men and marry one of them. One of the articles in the episode description that I've linked below is a comparison between Pocahontas and Malinche. Neither of them really had a choice on whether they would be the heroine or the villain of their people. They were kind of just used for, you know, the purposes of these conquerors. Colonizers, yes. Not getting too much into that, but as Thanksgiving approaches...
Stop. Don't do it.
No, I'm just saying... I think people should try to educate themselves on the actual story of Thanksgiving.
Oh, sure.
Because...
Just no soapbox.
Okay, well. More likely than not, they were both assaulted and forced by the English and the Spaniards, respectively. So, Pocahontas and Malinche. Of course, the story isn't that simple, and it's really unclear whether or not La Malinche was this huge traitor that she's made out to be. But, regardless, she doesn't have much to do with La Llorona, other than the fact that she was feared during her time, and may have influenced the creation of the old ghost story. So it's not like they're saying La Malinche and La Llorona are the same person.
Okay.
They're just, like, similar. Mm-hmm. So now that we've taken that historical little detour, let's actually dive into the story of La Llorona. So her name was actually Maria, very similar again to Marina. And she was beautiful, but poor. So one day a nobleman came into town and just had to have her. I'm not gonna soapbox, I'm just saying. That's what all the records said. He saw her, she was beautiful, so he wanted to marry her. So they did, and they were happy for a little while. Then Maria gave birth to two sons, and she wanted her husband to be involved in raising them. Unfortunately, at the time, it was really common for men not to be involved in that, so he was busy traveling 24/7, and she was left alone. When he did come home, he just wanted to spend time with the kids. He wanted to take them with him when he decided to leave Maria for a younger woman, but she wouldn't let him. So he came home, he wanted to be with the kids, but he didn't want to be with her. So he said, I'm going to take them with me so I can go be with this other lady. In other stories, he doesn't even think of them and just leaves with the new woman. So that's kind of different sometimes, but regardless, he's trying to leave Maria. Unfortunately, Maria does not react well, and she's hurt and angry, and she wants to take revenge on the only thing she believes her husband has ever loved, which is her sons.
Ah,
so lovely. She drowns them in a river. She didn't realize she did this, so she looked for them the next day, but their bodies had been swept away. So she kind of went into, like, this rage and did it. And then she didn't notice, so the next day she, like, walked around looking for them. When she couldn't find them, she drowned herself, and that's why she's said to walk around looking for her children. She's also said to drown children when she finds out that they aren't her own. So if she finds, like, living children, this ghost of La Llorona will drown them.
Nice.
And again, she does this in a rage, and when she finds out that she's done it again, the cycle starts all over. To me, the scariest part of the myth is that her crying echoes as if she were on the shores still, so that when she sounds close, she's actually far away. But if she sounds far away, you better run, because that means she's right behind you.
Nice.
Terrifying. Terrifying. There are a few movies that have been made of this, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of The Curse of La Llorona.
Was it good?
I honestly zoned out. It was really jump scary. It wasn't...
I bet. This seems like a jump scary kind of movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of close-ups of her, like, her screaming, and I just didn't think it was very good, honestly. Yeah. But I haven't seen the other ones, so in 2004 there was Spirit Hunter, La Llorona, La Herencia de la Llorona, which is, like, the inheritance of La Llorona. So it was, like, a kind of familial thing, from what I gathered. But that was in, like, the 40s, so 1947. And then there was one in 1960, and a movie called The Cry in 2007. But, yeah, the reviews for The Curse of La Llorona were absolutely terrible. And I know a lot of people who said it was stupid. But there are a lot more shows and movies that cover this, and I think it is a really interesting story compared to a lot of ghost stories that are just like, oh yeah, she died, and now she haunts this hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. So watch out on the shores. If she sounds far, she's literally right behind you.
Lovely. I'm not a child anymore, so I'm good.
Yeah, but if you have children, she'll want them. You seem disturbed.
Not really.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Okay. All right, your turn.
My turn. I might have to have your help with pronouncing some of these words.
I'll try my best.
But my myth is about the region of Chile, more specifically Archipelago. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Pelago?
Archipelago.
Okay, cool. It's a Chilote.
Chilote, yeah.
Chilote myth. It's called The Legend of Trinchin Vilu in Kai Kai Vilu.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, Chilote mythology is mythology that comes from people from the south of Chile and archipelago. This myth is about a fierce battle that happens between two mythical snakes. Trinchin means to be related to the earth, and Vilu means snake. So if you put that together, Trinchin is the earth snake. Kai Kai means related to water, so he is the water snake. And this myth is about how the south of Chile got its architecture. Architecture?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word?
What are you referencing?
Like, got its, shape?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it would be architecture.
It'd be architecture either.
Shape, yeah.
Sure. There's a lot of backstory that kind of needs to be laid down for you to understand this myth, so bear with me for a minute. So, to lay down the groundwork, you need to know that Chilote myths aren't the only stories to come from that region of the world. Another type of mythology that comes from the same area is called Mapuche. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mapuche myths lay down the creation of the main characters in this myth, but the Chilote part is what actually happens in the story, if that makes sense.
I'm confused.
Yeah, me too.
Wait, Mapuche laid down the creation of the main characters.
Yes.
So this story is Mapuche, but it's also Chilote?
So, the characters were created from Mapuche myths, but the story about these characters is Chilote.
Okay. I kind of get it.
So, according to the Mapuche, Trinchin Vilu and Kai Kai Vilu were children of powerful Pilons?
But I have no idea.
Pilons are highly respected male spirits. The names of those pilons were Parapilon and Antu, however you want to say that. Kai Kai was Parapilon's son, while Trinchin was Antu's daughter. For some unknown punishment, both children were turned into snakes. Again, unknown punishment, I don't know. They were condemned forever to be enemies, just like their fathers were, which I would imagine has something to do with why their sons were punished. Not sons. Son and daughter. Why their kids were punished.
Okay.
Gosh, I struggled over that part.
That's okay. I'm confused. Who had children with them?
I don't know. They're spirits.
The despond.
Yeah.
Okay. Kids. That's fun.
Yeah. So, Kai Kai was sent into the sea to take care of the water spirits, and Trin Trin was sent to live on the earth and take care of the spirits there and to help humanity. Over the years, Kai Kai had commanded the water spirits to periodically give gifts to humanity from the sea, which are unspecified, and Trin Trin did the same.
But for the earth.
Yes, but okay. From the earth. Kai Kai then went into a deep sleep for years, and when he woke up, he found that humanity was ungrateful for the gifts they had been given. Rude. He then wanted to destroy humanity and flood everything above the water to make everything under his dominion. Mm. So he's like, you're going to be ungrateful? Fine, you don't get to live. Wow. Oh my gosh, harsh, that's but extreme. I mean, sure.
Well, it sounds like he didn't want to kill them. It says to put everything under his dominion, so it sounds like he just wants to rule.
Yeah, but he's also like, you don't get any land anymore because you're ungrateful.
Mm. It's like taking away an iPad from a child.
Pretty much. Kai Kai then used his tail to hit the water and flood everything. Humans called on Trin Trin to save them. Hey, giant water snake, please. We're about to drown, so can you, like, do something? And she took pity on the humans and animals that were under her protection. And she put all of humanity and the animals on her back and took them to the highest hill so they would be safe from the flood. You following still?
I think so.
It's a really weird myth, so I feel like I have to pause and make sure you're still with me.
I'm just confused, so...
Like, the visualization of this is hard. They're giant snakes.
Right. And Kai Kai is the water one.
Yes.
And Trin Trin is the earth one.
Yes.
But you said that they called on the water snake
to help them? No, they called on Trin Trin to save them.
So they called on the earth to help them. Okay, that makes more sense.
Did I say Kai Kai?
No, you just said they called the water snake to help them. But the water snake is the one trying to drown them. No, they called Trin Trin
to help them.
Okay.
So, you know, she put all of humanity and the animals on her back, put them up really high. Okay, she's like, yeah, you're fine. Water won't touch you here. But apparently she left some people because some people were left behind and got trapped. So she turned them into birds so they could fly away. Didn't turn them back into humans, just into birds. You're birds now.
Perfect. Perfect. So instead of going to pick them up from where they were trapped, she was like, nope, birds.
Yep. And those that were already drowning in the flood water, she turned into fish and dolphins.
Oh my god. Okay.
And, yeah. Like, I'm sure there was something she could have done, but no, you're fish and dolphins and birds now. Congrats.
I wouldn't be too mad about that, though. I'd love to be a dolphin.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But the flood waters kept rising, and therefore threatened those that she had already brought to safety, so she raised the hills... Safety? Safety. So she raised the hills even higher to turn them into mountains.
Okay.
Kai Kai got angrier that she kept thwarting his attempts, so then he started to attack Trin Trin directly. This battle between them lasted, and I quote, a long time.
Specific.
That's it. That's all I got, is a long time. No idea how long that actually is. But this battle lasted until both snakes were tired. And Kai Kai felt partially defeated because he wasn't able to flood everything. However, what he did flood remains and formed what is now Archipelago.
So the archipelago is made up of the mountains that Trin Trin made, yep, and surrounded by the water that Kai Kai put everywhere.
Yes.
Got it.
So I'm essentially falling. It was once attached to Chile.
Okay.
Yeah. Trin Trin felt satisfied, you know, that she had saved at least most of humanity.
The rest she turned into animals.
Right. But then she realized that humanity was overall kind of selfish and ungrateful for what she had done for them. I was like, oh gosh, here we go. So she turned the mountains that she raised into volcanoes and made them erupt so no one could live there.
What is up with these gods and spirits? Like, humanity is not going to be grateful, fam. Just leave them alone. Because if you do a good deed and you expect them to be thankful, they're not going to be. And then you'll just be more mad.
Yep. Pretty much. But also these humans, like, she did save your life.
Yeah, but they're like, that was my cousin that you turned into a pelican. How dare you? I wouldn't be thankful. I'd be like, dude, my dad is a fish. Come on.
Yeah, well, apparently Trin Trin didn't see it that way.
Okay.
And Trin Trin apparently is still manifested through earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, still angry from the attitude of humanity. So now, if there's an earthquake in Chile, you know Trin's like, you know what? I'm still mad about that.
That's like when you remember something from years ago and you're like, wow, that really upset me.
Yeah, literally. And Kai Kai still causes tidal waves and floods when he rolls over in his sleep. So he's not even bothered anymore. He's so just he's chilling.
He's chilling. He's asleep.
Yeah, but he's still causing damage. But, so.
Like, it's not damage because he doesn't care anymore. He's like, whatever, humanity sucks. I lost. But yeah. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, same. Kai Kai, I feel you, bro.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's literally it. It's probably one of the weirdest myths I've ever done, but I really enjoyed reading that's about weird. It. I'm like, what is going on?
I really thought that when I heard Archipelago and giant snakes, I thought they were going to be the body of the like, you know, like how they say sometimes that they're a myth, that the world rests on an animal or something?
Sure.
Like, I thought that's what it was.
Nope.
Not throwing little hissy fits because... You know.
They weren't little. Those were some big old hissy fits. That's
true. But it still seems like a hissy fit, and it's just him rolling over in his sleep, so yeah. They're too powerful.
Yeah.
That was cool. Alright, well, here's my last one, and this is from Venezuela. And this is Maria Llonza. So, it is another Maria, which is my middle name, so...
Oh my gosh, is it really? That's my middle name.
Oh my gosh, no, it's not.
No, it's not. I won't tell you my middle name. Stop! We have to bleep that out. I don't want people to find me. This is a fake identity.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I forgot you're in witness protection.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you started a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is actually the biggest...
This is good. Ooh, yeah.
That's like the second six reference we've made in weeks.
Oh, well.
Go listen to Six, the musical. It's really good.
Life.
What?
Life.
Nice.
Welcome to the show, to the history mix.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to finish that part.
I don't remember that.
Switching up the flow as we add the
prefix.
Everybody knows that we used to be six wives.
Okay.
But
continuing.
XY.
Sabrina.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is the biggest indigenous religion in Venezuela, which is only surpassed by the mainstream colonizing religion of Catholicism.
Colonizing?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saying, like, Catholicism wasn't a big thing back in the day, but now it is because colonialism. But the followers of Maria Llonza, however, consider their beliefs a mix of African, indigenous, and Catholic practices. So it all kind of, like, melded together. Maria is, first and foremost, a goddess. Some say that she is the goddess of nature, others of banishing evil, but they all can agree that she wants peace amongst all beings. So that's pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
And every October, Maria's followers make a pilgrimage to Sorte Mountain, her monumental mountain of luck, so that the bad spirits within them may be sent away and that they themselves may be cleansed. So they're like, bro, I am possessed, so I shall climb this good luck mountain and be unpossessed.
This good luck mountain. Can I have one of those?
Did I say unluck mountain?
Good luck mountain.
Oh, good luck mountain.
Yeah.
I don't want to climb a mountain. I'll just stay possessed.
Okay.
But on October 12th, there is Venezuela Day of Indigenous Resistance, in which the indigenous people say that they're impervious to fire.
That sounds like it could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So they perform a show called Baile de las Brasas, Dance of the Hot Coals.
Sounds fun.
Okay. Uh-huh. Basically, it is what it sounds like. So they, I guess, just... They... You know, blow fire out of their mouths. They dance on hot coals. They basically try to burn down their houses.
Lovely.
On this day. But who is Maria Llonza?
She's a goddess.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah, I was paying attention.
10 points for paying attention.
10 points? For Slytherin! I'm a Slytherin, in case you guys can't tell.
I'm not.
I think I'm a pretty obvious Slytherin. We'll let you guess which one Juju is.
Yeah.
The fact that I just called her Juju should be a dead giveaway,
okay,
honestly.
Okay, listen. If anyone is listening in Portuguese, it is called...
No, I was gonna give it away.
Is it really, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then you can bleep what it is in Portuguese.
Okay.
Okay. So, Maria Leonza lived during the 15th century and was the daughter of an Indian chief.
Maybe she was one of the six wives.
No, she wasn't. She was indigenous. In Venezuela. Well, she was sent by her father to Sorte Mountain to keep her safe from the colonizers. Unfortunately, folklore and history are never fair. So after moving to the mountain and going to the river, Maria gets eaten by a giant anaconda.
Of course. It was probably Trin Trin.
It was.
Dang it, Trin Trin.
It all ties together.
That name reminds me. This is probably super disrespectful, and I am so sorry. But do you remember that Tumblr meme years ago where, like, people, like, had, like, their wolf name or whatever?
Oh my gosh.
And it was,
yes,
Moon Moon.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. Who invited freaking Moon Moon?
That's very disrespectful. Yikes.
That reminds me of, dang it, Trin Trin.
Alrighty then. Yikes.
Oh gosh.
So
I'm sorry.
After she was eaten by this anaconda, which may or may not have been Trin Trin. Nope. I knew that was coming. Nope. Nope.
And it kind of don't want none unless you got buns on.
Okay, well, her buns must have been great because she was
the anaconda wanted some.
But she didn't die yet, even though she was eaten by a whole snake. So she promised Sorte Mountain that she would become one with the mountain if it would save her. This mountain that apparently was created by Trin Trin, right?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
So,
what's
now,
Venezuela?
Where is Venezuela?
I said that's Venezuela. It's not the same place.
No, it's not. But who knows? Maybe Trin Trin got around.
Maybe.
But this mountain now is Maria Leonza. So when people go up this mountain for their pilgrimage, like, it's basically, like, she is the mountain. Like, think Moana, the...
Tefiti?
Tefiti, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Moana.
There's too much singing.
Make way.
The mountain of something, something.
Maria Leonza.
No. Alright, well, pop culture, not counting Moana, is this documentary from the 80s that's called Maria Leonza, La Dea Urbana, The Urban Goddess, Maria Leonza. And then there's a song called Maria Leonza by Ruben Blades and Willie Colon?
Probably Colon.
I don't know. So it says in Spanish, the lyrics are, y va velando a su tierra entera desde el Guajiro hasta Cumana, cuida el destino de los latinos, vivir unidos y en libertad. I'm sorry, my Spanish is not good. But that means she goes watching over her entire land, from the peasant to Cumana, taking care of the destiny of the Latinos, living, united, and in liberty. Which I think is very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But that is it. That's all.
That's all. We're done.
That's all, folks.
I just want you guys to know, I finished our Christmas version of our
theme song
today. So...
very exciting.
Yeah.
We're excited.
How mad will you be if I do a Cinco de Mayo one?
Bro, we will get canceled so fast. Please don't do that.
I kind of want to do it now.
Please don't do it. And you can't call it Cinco de Mayo. You could call it Latin for this episode?
No, not this. No.
Oh, because I thought since we were doing South America, you were
like Cinco de Mayo. No, actually Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
The 5th of May.
Well, how about we have a vote? We'll do a poll on our Twitter and Instagram. If you guys think we should do a Cinco de Mayo theme song, we'll do it. Okay.
With Mexican theme, miss.
But if people think that's too far, we won't do it.
Ooh.
We didn't do, like, a St. Patty's Day one. Like,
we have,
Irish music.
But we started this podcast in August. St. Patty's Day is before that, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that in, like, May?
So, are you implying that... No, it's in March.
March?
It's March 17th. Are you implying that we should do a St. Patty's Day theme song?
Well, now I really want to.
Okay.
It's not like a challenge, and I'm in.
Okay. How about we do a poll to see what holidays or seasons you guys want to hear different theme songs? Because Sabrina's enjoying making them.
I really am. Like, making music is my thing, and I'm really enjoying making different theme songs. But I think the Halloween one might forever be my favorite. Like, that one is just dope.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
We're done. We will catch you guys later.
Yep. Bye.
Nope. Bye.